This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Most Unlikely, Part 1, was delivered on October 3rd, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
588, online giving, of course, newhopeasthawaii.com, and good old snail mail with your envelopes and stamps, NHEH. HCR2, box 6617, KL 96749. All right. You ready, Pastor? Come on up. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Scott and his word today.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Frank. We're hoping one day that the racetrack would open because, man, they need saving down there and they need prayer. So, hey, on the way out, if you want, somebody brought coconuts and avocados, so go help. I don't know what you can make with coconuts and avocados. The avocados you throw at the dogs, and the coconuts you eat. You tell I'm not a big fan of avocados. Yeah. It is so nice to be here. It is so nice to be in God's house. And please, just this is a tool for you to help you reach people. It's just some scriptures on what we use to lead people to Christ. So grab some on the way out. All right. Whew. What a great day. Man, I cannot, it's hard to believe it's like October already. And we're already wearing masks. Man, you guys are ready. You guys are ahead of the game. Well, hey, if you have your Bibles, how many of you brought your Bibles? Hold up your Bibles. Oh, your phone, how many? Yeah, if I had candy for all of you who brought your Bibles, maybe next week, I'll give all of you candy, except for you, Cammy, because you're a health coach, so. Yeah, sorry. I just love picking on you because you're so healthy. Yeah, so yeah, bring your Bibles next week. Well, open it up to the book of Judges, chapter 6. We're going to be in there for this week and next week. You know, I don't know if any of you ever felt inadequate to serve God or maybe to do something a little bigger than yourselves for God. Maybe someone came up to you and asked you, hey, can you pray over the family meal at Thanksgiving or at Christmas, and you got kind of uncomfortable. I remember, like, back in, when was it? I think it was like 2000, when HPM was celebrating their 80th anniversary. Now they're on their 100th. And I was there at working for them, and someone asked me to pray over the company celebration dinner in front of hundreds of people, and I was like, holy smokes. Not me. I mean, you ever felt anything like that? Because if you do, let me tell you, you are not alone. And I think sometimes we can all feel small at times to do something for a great big God. But if you look at the Bible, you know, there were so many times when God used the least qualified, the most unlikely people to do his work. And we know when Christ ascended, when he left us, when he went back to heaven, he left us with the Holy Spirit. So you know that we're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us, lives in us. And when he left, the church. Who is the church? Yes, we are the church. We became the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we are called to do his work in this very dark place. The Bible calls it the crooked and perverse generation. I mean, if you look at Moses, we would consider him very unlikely to carry out God's work because he, as one, he said he could not speak well. He murdered somebody. And when Pharaoh found out he murdered somebody, he ran away. We look at Paul. He had people like us arrested and thrown in jail. And this morning, we're going to look at one unique person. And if you have your Bibles, get it there to Judges chapter 6. And when I started coming to church in the late 90s, like 1999, I was 37 years old. I was, you know, they say maybe close to middle age, if you live to 70, who knows? I was 37 years old, kind of like not sure what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. I was still searching, and everything I did wasn't working. You know, you try do things to make a living, and you do, and it's just not working. I had, at one time, believe it, I had a bonsai farm with like 2,000 or 3,000 plants going, and just didn't work. And I was searching and saying, what am I gonna do? I'm not that young anymore. I'm 37, but, and you know, you kind of would be established, but I wasn't. And it wasn't working out, so I finally accepted my wife's invitation to go to church. She must have been kind of like, why are you all dressed up on a Sunday morning? I'm coming with you, like, what? Better call the church because this might fall down. You know, people like to tell me that, oh, if I come to church, the building will fall down. They're great because we want to build a new one. So, you know, you step in the church. Okay, it didn't fall. So I started coming to church and, you know, things really went well. I listened to the messages and it was fantastic. And then I took the message and I tried to apply it in my life and things started changing. And over the next 3 years, from like 2000 to 2003, my life just, everything in my life just changed dramatically. And at the beginning of 2003, I gotta tell you this, I told some of this, April 1st, what is April 1st? I started working for the church. I was a fool for Christ. Yeah, it's like crazy, yeah? I will always remember April 1st as the day I quit my secular job and I went to work for the church. And, you know, and things changed. You know, I really didn't want to work for the church. Like I told you, I worked for HPM. I was the tool buyer. And you know how much I love tools, right? People would bring me free tools every week. Talk about, like, man, if you had a sweet tooth, that'd be like somebody bringing you candy every day. And so I didn't really want to, but after prayer, I decided that that's what I needed to do. And, you know, and then, I started on April 1st, and I think in November of that year, I actually ended up with a pastor's license. It's like, how did that work? I think after I got in as a pastor, they changed the requirements. And it's, we let this guy through, you kidding me? Now you gotta sit before a board and do an interview and ask you questions. It's like, whew, I just made it, I guess. It gotta have been God, because it couldn't have been me. You know, I thought when they licensed me, I was like, how could this be? Because there were people there longer, way before me. There were people there smarter than me. There are people here smarter than me. And like I said, the only reason that I'm the pastor here, because I got here first. Yeah? So I felt really, really undeserving, inadequate. How could this be? Because there were at least 1,000 people there who was there before me. And here I am with this thing. And it's like, go figure. And you know, there were so many times that I felt not qualified to do God's work. I felt inadequate. And in Judges 6, we're going to see what's going on. And the Israelites, after wandering around in the wilderness for so many years, they finally, finally made it to the promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey. The land that was promised to them years ago. And we pick up the story in Judges chapter 6, in starting in verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. So these Midianites were just cruel. They were vicious. I mean, anybody here ever been bullied in school? Yeah? Yeah, you see those guys coming, the bullies, and you go and duck in a classroom. You run, you hide in, you don't hide in the bathroom, because if they catch you in the bathroom, that is it. There's no way out. You understand that? You go in the bathroom, you stuck. Your head might end up in the toilet or something, because that's what bullies did. And so Israel was being bullied by the Midianites, and they would hide. So who were these Midianites? You know, we can learn a lot when we study these things. And so we go back many years. In Genesis 25, 1 and 2. Now Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran and Jokshan and Midian and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. Like Shua, okay? So remember, the Midianites were actually descendants of Abraham. So it's kind of like they're related. You figure they would have some kind of alliance. Remember when Moses ran away from Pharaoh and he went into the wilderness and he ran into the shepherdess ladies and Jethro, their dad, he was a Midianite. And so you figure the Israelites and the Midianites, they were related. You figured they would have some kind of alliance, but they didn't. The Midianites were desert people descended from Abraham's second wife, Keturah. And for some reason, they were bitter enemies. I guess maybe like sibling rivalries, I don't know. And in the wilderness, the Israelites went to battle with the Midianites. And God told them to destroy them, to like wipe them out, because the Midianites enticed them to worship the god Baal, B-A-A-L. So in Numbers 31:9, the sons of Israel captured the women of Midian and their little ones and all their cattle and all their flocks and all their goods they plundered. So they did not do what God told them to do. They were disobedient. They let some of them live. Now we read in Judges years later that the Midianites returned in full force to oppress God's people. 7 years. That's the backdrop of our message this morning. Man, 7 years they oppressed. For in Judges 6:3, for it was when Israel had sown, when they planted, the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come in like locusts for number. Both they and their camels were innumerable, and they came into the land to devastate it. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. So 7 years, the Midianites swept over the land. Every 7 years, but they had them right now. It was the time of the harvest, and they carried away all the crops, the grain. They had no food for themselves, none for the sheep, the cattle. These guys, they brought their own animals to graze on all their fields, animals and flocks without number, they say. Now, in Judges 6, verse 7, now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian. Now, think about it. This is my thinking. If I was God, which thank God I'm not, and they cried out to me, oh, Lord, help, the Midianites are oppressing us. Well, if you listened to me years ago and destroyed all of them, this wouldn't happen. Duh. Well, aren't you happy that I am not God? Oh. We'd be dust. That the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel and said to them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, it was I who brought you from Egypt and brought you out from this house of slavery. So here we see God's grace in action. You know, he doesn't go and tell them, should have listened to me years ago. But he has grace on them. And even in their disobedience and sin, God still loves them. You know, how many times somebody wrongs us and we just like disown them, cut ties, forget it, see you later. Don't even call me. Don't even text me. I'm so glad that God loves me so much that he doesn't do that to me. How many times do we feel like we cannot come to God, maybe because of something we did? So, who was this most unlikely prophet that God sent to deliver Israel from the hand of Midian? It was Gideon. That's your first film. Judges 6:12. The angel of the Lord appeared and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Wow, imagine if God came up to you and said, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. I'd be like, somebody behind me. Then Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Then I would bring up the past again, you know? How many of you like to dig up the past when you're fighting ammunition? I would tell you, you know, Gideon, you know why this is happening? Because your father was disobedient long ago. So suffer. Like again, thank you, Lord, that I am not God. And where are all these miracles which our fathers told us about? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But thou, the Lord, has abandoned us and given us over to the hands of Midian. I guess Gideon didn't know that they had the chance to destroy the Midianites years ago. So the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? I think that's a word for all of us. When we go out to war in the world, you know, the Lord says, have I not sent you to go and do something? So here, Gideon, when this is happening, he is actually hiding in the wine press, beating out some wheat, whatever he can find, so that he can have food. He's hiding from the Midianites, trying to get some food, and the angel of the Lord calls him. And I love when he addresses Gideon as, oh, valiant warrior. And this is Gideon in 6:15. He said to him, oh Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house. It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, I am from the smallest tribe, the smallest house in this tribe, and I am the youngest in this house. Are you kidding me? How many of you are the youngest in your family? How many of you? God called you to do great things. I mean, have you, any of you other than me, made excuses why you cannot serve God?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when he called me to do this, I said, I did the Moses thing, but I cannot speak well. I speak pidgin. You ever listen to yourself on the recording? Oh, I sound awful. I hate listening to myself. My voice is not eloquent. It's rough. It's pidgin. You cannot understand me when I tell you Bombay, Basa. You know, I found myself using those words. And here, Gideon is trying to tell the angel his family is the least. Hey, I'm from the district of Pune. Nothing good comes out of Pune. Right? Lower Pune. I don't care, lower, upper, east, or west Pune. And it's like, you kidding me, Lord? And so this is how truly how I felt when the church licensed me as a pastor. Who am I to hold this position? I'm nobody. I would say a college dropout, but I barely went to college enough to drop out of it. You know, I dislike reading. I'm terrified of public speaking. I tell you what, if you put your hand on my back now, you would feel the moisture coming out of my body. So I thought I am totally not qualified. Like Gideon, I'm the youngest in my family. And I felt like, man, how can this be? So, you know, when I go to conferences with other pastors, when I have our every other week pastors' meetings, I feel so intimidated. Because these guys, like, they speak so well. And I visit some of their houses. And some of them, when I go into their houses, like, not a piece of dust on the counter. Everything is spotless. And you come to my house, oh my gosh, sawdust and fish scales all over the place. I'm serious. My wife doesn't like people to come over because I'm not the neatest person, and she tries to clean up. I say, honey, don't clean up. Leave it as it is. I don't want to try and act like somebody I'm not. Like when you see me eating salad. I'm just acting, just trying to impress you. Yeah, and so, and when I go to these other pastors' house, I feel so, so unqualified, so intimidated. I remember back before I started working for the church, Pastor Alex took me to a conference. It was in South Barrington. This is Chicago, Illinois. It's so far away. That was the first time I ever flew that far. And I had no clue why I was there. Seriously. I was like, why would this guy bring me all these way? I wasn't working for the church. I was just a guy in church, and he told me, I want you to come with me. Like, so we go to this conference, right? Thousands of people. And then I cannot hang around Pastor Alex because he has to go to his meetings. I cannot hang around Fernando, who was with me, because he got to go to his worship meetings. So here I am, little 5 feet tree. Like James told me this morning, he reminded me, he showed me the scripture in the morning when he was reading about Zacchaeus. You know the short guy who had to climb up the tree? He keeps telling me that's my relative. I love you, James. So here I am, little me from Hawaii, sent off among other people. So I'm in this session talking about small groups. And everybody's standing up and introducing themselves. Big old guy. I'm Pastor so-and-so. I'm from this Baptist church in Texas. I'm the senior pastor. Wow. I'm this other guy, senior pastor from Washington. I'm this other guy, senior pastor at California. And I was like, I felt the urge to go to the bathroom really bad and maybe not even come back. Seriously, I was like, I guess maybe Gideon might have felt that way, but worse because he had to go rescue the whole nation from an army that was just like, they couldn't even number it. But I was like, I felt so small, so unqualified. I don't belong here. What was I thinking when I said yes that I would go? And I was dreading the moment when they would ask me to stand and tell them, my name is Scott, I'm from Hawaii, I'm not a pastor, I'm not even a staff member, I'm just a volunteer. I was dreading, I mean, just like dreading that moment. So bad, so bad. I was like, oh, what am I going to do? Racing. I think if I had a Fitbit back then, it would have probably gone like 150, 180 or whatever it could be, but it was ready to just blow out of my chest. I was really terrified. Really, really, really terrified. And you know what? I'll tell you what happened next week, okay? I'm sorry, but I ran out of time, and I have to tell you the next week. But just think about it, okay? Think about what Gideon. Go read Judges 6. And those of you who are not going to be here, I guess you got to watch online. But think about what Gideon was called to do. The youngest in his family. Think about what God is calling you to do. And how you may feel like, man, I cannot do that. I cannot teach children. I cannot teach teenagers. I cannot do announcement. We definitely would not sing, right? I mean, you may have those things like, I'm the least. How can I do something great for God? Maybe God is calling you to go reach a community, plant a church somewhere. I had a meeting with one of our guys who was our district health coach, but now he is in charge of the missionaries for Foursquare throughout the world. And I had a conference call with him Friday, and he said, man, Scott, the people out there in the world, they are begging me. They are begging me to send them missionaries, send them people. You can go for, I can get you there next month. You want to go to Egypt? We'll get you there. You want to go to Africa? We'll get you there. You want to go to South Pacific? Yes, where? Surfing, fishing, South Pacific? You know, he wants us to send people. And maybe you like, wow, I would love to do something great for God. It's your chance, but think about what Gideon was challenged with and how he felt, I cannot do this. Think about that. And so I want you, during this week, I want you to pray and ask God, what are you calling me to do? Who are you calling me to reach? Where are you calling me to serve? Because Gideon was obedient. And you're going to see next week what he accomplished because of his obedience. The youngest, the least of the tribe, the least of the family. We're going to see what he accomplished next week. I'm going to ask Pastor Frank to come lead us in communion. Sorry to leave you hanging, but I knew I was going to run out of time. Not sorry, but I just want to get you back here next week.
Troublemaker, this guy. Wow. All right, there we go. Your phone. Thank you, Pastor Scott, for that word. Yeah, how many of us feel like Gideon sometimes? Whether you know, as we know also, yeah, even though the story of Gideon is meant to really illustrate that what God can do with, you know, the smallest, the youngest, what the world considers the least, you know, even those among us that are giants of men and women all have those Gideon moments. You know, you're going out there and that heart pounding, sweat running down your back. All you can hear is your heart in your ears. You're not sure if you're breathing. You feel like your fingertips and your toenails are popping off, yeah?
Yep.
And we all know that feeling when it's unfamiliar to us. And so what we do with communion is it's something that is familiar. It's something that as a family, we come together. We share in an experience that our Lord went through when he broke bread. And this was, you know, as we know, right before he was given up and betrayed. You know, God stepped off that throne and he came to earth. So he's the greatest that was in heaven. And then he became the least among us. So I'm sure he was having his Gideon moments. And imagine Gideon, who's the smallest and he doesn't have much skills. But Jesus sitting there, like, could you imagine him, like, drumming his fingers as he saw those Romans coming into the garden? And he's like, hold my wine. Right? You know he could have just... But that wouldn't have been his purpose, right? Imagine the strength it took to stand there and just take that breath or breaths, knowing. He could imagine, right? We imagine what's going to happen. He's God. He knew exactly every strike, every stripe, every tear, every rip. He knew every one of those things. We just run it through our head. He knew it. He could have gotten through it. He could have not done it. But then we wouldn't be here. So with communion, we come together to remember what Jesus did. And there's several scriptures in the Bible that we can look at. But we know that it was at the Last Supper. And they were eating. And Jesus knew there was going to be a foreboding. They knew there was going to be a betrayal. And Jesus still, through his storytelling, said, hey... they were eating and he was passing the bread and he took the bread and he broke it and he passed out the pieces. And if you can, I heard some of you preparing, I think my grandson, oh no, he never did this one, or Sias one, set this up for me so I could open it easy. Thank you. Where's he at? Where's my grandson went? Where's Sias? Oh, he's in the playground.
Yeah.
Smart man. Okay. So, you know, when dinner was done, Jesus took the bread, the loaf of bread, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is going to be broken for you. So we can take of the bread. And then when they were finished with that, Jesus took the cup of wine, and he took a sip, and he shared that as well, and he said, all of you, drink of this, for this is my blood, which is going to be shed for you. And go ahead and take of that. So as we participate in this, we remember what Jesus did for us. We remember the sacrifice he made. Worship team, if you can come up. We remember what our Lord was in strength of body and clarity of mind and purpose. Remember how Gideon was being called to do something and he felt inadequate. But I would challenge us that the inadequacy is the world barking at us in our ear, and it's the devil pushing us in a direction that he wants us to go, and yet we have the story. Oh, I don't want to spill. No, we all have this story. And we know how this thing ends. And we know that we're victorious in the end. So I'll close in prayer as they get ready here. Father, we thank you for the gift of communion, the ability to come together as a family, Lord God. And in our trying times now in this world, Lord, that you preordain, you know, and we seems like we're just galloping headlong into the final days. But that's on you, Lord, whatever that timing looks like. But Father, we thank you for the opportunity to take a few moments to gather together, to sing songs of worship to you, Lord God, to sacrifice some of our time, Lord God, to be with others, Lord. And I would ask you to look at my heart and all of our hearts, Lord God, and to check us and to
to challenge us, Lord God, to step out to help each other, because it's truly in service, Lord God, that we grow. It's truly in giving to others that don't have what we have at that moment, Lord, that little bit of something, that we do that. And what Pastor was saying, if you feel a calling to go on a mission, let one of us know and we can hook you up. But I challenge you also is to go to the side of your property line, and if there's a neighbor, there's a mission field. Amen. If you're at school, there's a mission field. When you're at work, there's a mission field. When you're shopping, there might be a mission field. Amen. So don't overlook the potential opportunities that exist each moment that we're drawing breath, because you might not know that you're going to be the only Jesus that person might see in that moment. So don't slight those and think, oh, I got to do something, and it's like out there. It's right here, right now. Mm. So we praise and thank you, Father, for this time. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Brother Walt, all you.
All right. Ooh, yeah, we all get those Gideon moments. I know I had a Gideon moment myself when I was in a senior leadership school. And they were same thing. They're introducing everybody. And, well, you actually had a partner that introduced you. And they were talking about, you know, oh, I had a bachelor's degree in this, or a associate's degree from this college or that college. And then came my turn. So I told my friend, okay, this is exactly what I want you to say. And he was like, okay. And this is like the second day in class. So I come up, I'm standing there, and the guy's looking at the card that I wrote out for him, and he says, this is Walt Moniz, he's from Hawaii. He has a bachelor's degree in keeping it real from What's the Matter You. Nobody in the room knew what to do, and my friend was in the class with me in the back, and he just, started busting out laughing. So Jesus will tell you what you can do, awesome, man, in those Gideon moments. Humor is always a possibility. Yeah.
Amen.
And I'm just standing there with a big smile on my face, and everybody in the class is like, how do I react to this? My friend is just cracking up laughing. The instructors on the side of the room are trying not to laugh, but then all of a sudden, that was it. Everybody just started rolling. I'm like, yeah, that's right. I don't got to brag about nothing. Jesus got me. Yep. All right, so let us stand and just go out with another part of worship. Yes.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.